Beloved Book One. Once a monk was asked by Kyozan, "Where have you come from?" To which the monk replied, "From Yushu." Kyozan then asked him, "I'd like to know something interesting about Yushu. What's the price of rice there?" The monk replied, "As I was coming here, I unintentionally passed over the bridge of that town and trod on the girders of the bridge, breaking them." On another occasion, Kyozan was washing his clothes, and Tanjin asked him, "What should we do at this moment?" Kyozan answered, "At this moment, where shall we look?" Tanjin made no reply. At another time, Kyozan saw a snowman and, pointing to it, said to the group of monks around him, "Is there anything whiter than that?" His monks were unresponsive.
I have been too long away from you, but this awareness was just like the glasses I'm wearing. Although you cannot see me, I can see you. I used to hear your yahoo, and each time I heard it, stars soared over my small hut. These few days and the nights, have been days and nights of a certain purification. The poison that has been delivered to me by President Ronald Reagan and his staff. From all over the world, experts in poison said that amongst all the poisons, this is the one. Which cannot be detected by any way. And it has been the practice of CBI in America to give this poison because there is no way to find out. And if you cannot find out, you cannot give any antidote. Death has been almost certain. These long days and nights, I had taken the challenge of the poison. Just witnessing the poison was a constant torture on every joint of the bones. But a miracle has happened. Slowly, from all joints it has disappeared. The last were the two arms. Today I am free from that too. I have a strong feeling that although I was not physically present here, you have felt me in the air. You have felt me more closely than ever before, and in your songs I was present. In your meditations, remember, I was more present than physically presence allows to be. I had to come out today for a special reason. Few months before in Bombay, Govind Siddharth had a vision that Gautam Buddha's soul has been searching a body and he saw in his vision that my body has become a vehicle of Gautam Buddha. He was right. But this is the misfortune of man. that you can go wrong even though you had touched a point of rightness, because I declared him to be enlightened, he has disappeared. Since then I have not seen him. Perhaps he thinks now, what is the use? I was searching enlightenment and I have found it. Enlightenment is only the beginning, not the end. He came very close and has gone very far away. But I was waiting from a Zen source for the recognition that Gautam the Buddha is trying to use my words and my silences, my heart beats and my inner sky to create few more rainbows to spread few more flowers in the world. That recognition has come from a very famous seeress and prophetess from Japan. One of our sannyasin was there. He could see the woman, her sincerity. She never praised anyone. Her insight was clear. He was afraid to ask about me. But finally he decided to ask about me. And without any hesitation, she said, I was waiting for a messenger. You have come in right time. Gautam Buddha is using Bhagwan's body. Right now you take these 21 very precious real pearls as a present to Bhagwan. And my congratulations, that a soul that has been wandering around in search of a vehicle has found it. The sannyasin was a little doubtful because he said Bhagwan's body has been poisoned in America. Will Gautam Buddha accept a vehicle which has been poisoned? The sincerity of the woman reminds me of Al-Mitra, of Khalil Gibran's prophet. She said, have you ever heard that a Satan or a devil has been poisoned? It has been the destiny of the Buddhas. Don't think that by poisoning the body has become impure. This has been a fire test, and Bhagwan has come out of it. You take these pearls and my message, and I will be coming myself to pay my respects. By the way, I have been calling myself Bhagwan. Just as a challenge to this country, to the Christians, to the Mohammedans, to the Hindus, they have condemned me. But none has been courageous enough to explain the condemnation. From far away sources, there have been articles and letters sent to me that why do you call yourself Bhagwan? And I have laughed, because why Ram calls himself Bhagwan? Is he appointed by a committee? And a Bhagwan appointed by a committee will not be much of a Bhagwan, because the committee does not consist of Bhagwans. What right they have is Krishna elected by the people as Bhagwan? Is it an election matter? Who has appointed these people? No Hindu has the answer. And if a man like Krishna who has stolen 16,000 women from different people, they were mothers, they were married, unmarried, with no discrimination, and yet no Hindu has the courage to object that a man of such character has no right to be called Bhagwan. They can call Kalki a white horse to be Bhagwan. Strange people, and they ask me why I call Bhagwan. I don't have any respect for the world. In fact, I have all the condemnation for it. It is not a beautiful world, although I have tried in my own way to transform the world. But the stupid Hindus won't allow it. I have tried to give it a new name, a new meaning, a new significance. I have called it that it means the Blessed One. A man with a blessed being. Although it was my invention, the word Bhagwan is a very ugly word according to the Hindus. But they are not even aware of it. They think that it is something very special. Its root meaning, Bhag, means woman's genital organs. And Van means man's genital organs. The meaning of the word Bhagwan is symbolically that he creates in the feminine energy of existence through his male chauvinistic energy, the creation. I hate the word. I have been waiting that some Hindu idiot will come forward, but they were thinking that it is something very dignified and I have no right to call myself Bhagwan. Today I say absolutely yes, but I have every right to denounce the word. Nobody can prevent me. I don't want to be called again Bhagwan. Enough is enough. The joke is over. But I accept the Japanese Zen prophetess, and from now onwards, I'm the Gautam, the Buddha. You can call me the beloved friend. Drop the word Bhagwan completely. Even very intelligent people, people who respect me and love me. Just the other day, I received an appreciation of Zarathustra by an internationally famous journalist he has praised it and he has called that after the Adi Shankara, the most famous Hindu philosopher, only I am the second as far as intellectual, rational, spiritual authenticity is concerned. But still he could not forget the word Bhagwan. That why I call myself Bhagwan? But does he know that he is comparing me with Adi Shankara and he has been called for 2000 years Bhagwan Adi Shankara? But nobody asked the question why. Anybody would have been happy to be compared with Adi Shankara, but I am not. It is not a compliment to me, because Shankara is the cause that Buddhism, which was a higher flowering, was destroyed by Shankara and the Hindu priesthood. I cannot accept that Shankara has any genius. He is an orthodox just trying to protect the investment of the Hindu priesthood, which is the world's worst and the ancient most rotten priesthood. I refuse to be compared with this man. Particularly because he was the cause to destroy the roses that Gautam Buddha has managed to grow in the soil of this land. In my eyes, he is a criminal of the worst kind. But as far as Gautam the Buddha is concerned, I welcome him in my very heart. I will give him my words, my silences, my meditations, my being, my wings. From today onwards, you can look at me as Gautama the Buddha. I will tell you The Japanese Buddhist series has sent her picture Kazuese Ishida, mystic of one of the biggest and most famous Shinto shrines in Japan, stated recently after seeing Bhagwan's picture that this is the person that Maitreya, the Buddha, has entered. He is trying to create a utopia in the 21st century. Lots of destructive power is against him, and some people call him Satan. But I have never known Satan to be poisoned. He is usually the poisoner, not the poisoned. We must protect this man, Bhagwan. Buddha has entered in him. With great love and respect, I accept Ishida's prophecy. She will be welcome here as one of my people most loved. And by accepting Gautam the Buddha as my very soul, I go out of the Hindu fold completely. I go against the Jaina fold completely. I have seen and condemned everything that was true but was not in the favor of the Hindu monks, Jaina monks. I have been consistently condemning celibacy as one of the most unnatural acts. Now, two Jaina monks have come with their own autobiographies out of the Jaina fold, renouncing the Jaina fold, declaring that behind celibacy all kinds of sexual perversions are prevalent. Young women are persuaded to become nuns. The family feels fortunate that their daughter has been accepted as a nun, and also financially it is good in India to get a girl married is the worst calamity that can happen to a family. But if a girl is accepted as a nun, the whole family becomes in a certain way holy. And these nuns are exploited sexually. I had been in contact with nuns and monks, and they have in privacy accepted that you are right. But our problem is we are not educated. If we leave the monkhood, the same people who touch our feet are going to kill us, or at least are going to reduce into beggars on the streets. These two books that just have been published, the Hindu Acharya Tulsi has been trying the government to prohibit the books because he himself is implicated in homosexuality. In fact, if the Indian government has any guts, the first thing is that all the monks, to whichever religion they belong, they should be examined thoroughly, because most probably their perversions of centuries must have brought the AIDS positive. That seems to be their only positive contribution to the world. Manisha Sutra beloved Bhagwan you will have to learn Manisha not to call me with that ugly name again. I am just your friend. That's what Gautam Buddha's prophecy was, that my name after 25 centuries, if I can find a vehicle, will be Maitreya Gautam Buddha. Maitreya means the friend. From onwards, you will have to change your old habits. I am your beloved friend. You can call me beloved Buddha. That simply means the awakened one. But we have to spread around the earth that I have denounced Bhagwan. I have in fact taken it on myself just one day to denounce it. I don't have any right on it, but I have every right not to call myself Bhagwan. The Sutra. Once a monk was asked by Khaozan, "Where have you come from?" To which the monk replied, "From Yusuf." Khaozan then asked him, "I would like to know something interesting about Yusuf. What is the price of rice there?" These are special devices of Zen. Khaozan is provoking the monk by asking this question, whether he remembers the past, which is no more, the village Yusuf, and the price of rice there. But the monk proved equal to Khaozan. As Khaozan asked, "I would like to know something interesting about Yusuf. What is the price of rice there?" The monk replied, "As I was coming here unintentionally, passed over the bridge of the town and trod on the girders of the bridge, breaking them." This is an old, very ancient saying of Buddha, that when you pass a bridge, break it, because there is no way of going back. Khaozan answered at this moment, "What should we do at this moment? The monk said, "Just find out if there are any bridges connecting you with the past and break them. Be independent of the past. Just be here and now in this moment. Accept this. There is no Zen, no Gautam the Buddha, no religion, no essential and existential experience of life, of love, of this tremendous cosmos. Just be disconnected from the past and be disconnected from the future. Being in this small and still moment, you are also the Buddha." On another occasion, Kyozan was washing his clothes and Tanzen asked him, "What should we do at this moment?" Kyozan answered, "At this moment, where shall we look?" Tanzen made no reply. Tanzen making no reply is a way of accepting a failure. Kyozan is washing his clothes neither in the past nor in the future, just here now. There is no Kyozan. There is only washing of the clothes. At another time, Kyozan saw a snowman and pointing to it said to the group of monks around him, "Is there anything whiter than that?" His monks were unresponsive. They could not understand that what Kyozan is asking has nothing to do with snowmen. They are all imaginary. But he is saying, if there is an snowman, he must be pure white, snow white. Is there anything whiter? There is. Your very being. Nothing can be more whiter, more luminous than your own very existence. Isa wrote, "Where there are humans, you will find flies and Buddhas." This whole cosmos consists of everything. If you find human beings, you will find flies. Isa is saying, to find Buddhas amongst you is as simple as finding flies. Buddha does not put himself on any superiority game. Buddha breaks down all the games that have been invented by all the traditions and the religions, the games around God, the games around hell, the games around virtue, the games around sin, all are simply man-made games. Buddha simply wants you to be completely free from man-made projections. Just be simple and hear. Let the stars shower on you and let the lotuses blossom in your being. You are not beggars. You are carrying all the splendor of existence within you, just you have not looked in. Buddha has brought religion to its very essential simplicity. That's his contribution. Against all traditions, against all stupid superstitions, he has rebelled. If I am accepting him to use my hands as his gestures, it is only because of his rebelliousness. Of course, I am going to refine on his rebelliousness. 25 centuries, too much dust has gathered. Behind the dust, the mirror is absolutely clean. Manisha has asked, we have heard you have been very sick. Would you like to talk about it? No, Manisha. Being sick is enough to talk about it. Is being more sick. And remember, my body can be sick, I am never sick. I watch everything, whatever happens. I will watch my death as I have watched my life. And that's my simple teaching to you. Before Sardar Gurdas Singh, this glass is for great Avirbhava. Yes, great for the time. Everybody wants to see. Judy comes from her honeymoon and is gossiping with her friend Diane. Well, Diane inquires, how was your honeymoon night? Ah, Diane just exclaims, it was horrible. All night up and down, in and out, up and down, in and out, never get a room next to the elevator. Edgar and Louisa is not grass. are Christian missionaries in Africa. They have been taken prisoner by the local cannibal tribe and are standing in a huge cauldron filled with water. Both are frightened beyond belief. Suddenly, Edgar starts giggling. "What on earth are you laughing about at a time like this?" Lucia asks with a shocked expression. "Those bastards don't know it yet," Edgar sniggers, "but I just pissed in their soup." A Smuts beer official is naming the winner of the Smuts beer slogan contest on national television, and the winner is Herbert Fein. For his winning slogan, "Smuts beer like love in a canal," Fine walks up to the stage and receives the $10,000 bill. That official shakes Fine's hand and says that a wonderful slogan. "Mr. Fine, please tell our national audience why you feel that Smuts beer is like love in a canal." "Sure," says Fine. "It is like love in a canal because it is fucking close to water." Now, Nivedanu. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness, and with an urgency, as if this is the last moment of your life, the totality of consciousness and such urgency is bound to bring you to the very source of your being. Suddenly, you have disappeared from the circumference and you are sitting deep at the center, like Gautam the Buddha. Flowers are suffering a new breeze, a fresh fragrance, an open sky. Full of stars, a sense of eternity, to know this is all there is to know, to make it clear. Nivedana, relax, just be a witness of the body and the mind. You are not the body, you are not the mind, you are just a pure watcher, a witness. This witnessing is the very essence of existential religion. This is not a mere teaching. This is Gautam Buddha sharing his own experience of the eternal, giving you freedom from the body and the mind, the Buddha auditorium suddenly has become a lake of consciousness. Personalities have disappeared. There is not even a single ripple in the lake. Collect as much oceanic experience as possible. You have to bring the Buddha back with you. You have to live the Buddha in your everyday experience. Nivedana, come back, but come back like Buddhas, with the same grace, with the same joy. Just sit for a few minutes to recollect where you have been, who in fact you are. Okay, Manisha.
Yes, Buddha.
Buddha, we your people from around the world have come. We have gathered here. Buddha, we your people from around the world have come. We have gathered here to sing this our song of love. Just like the trees dance in the wind, every heart rejoices again. Just like the trees sung to the earth, most beloved Master, Buddha, we your people. We have gathered here to sing this our song of love. Buddha, we your people from around the world have come. We have gathered here to sing this our song of love. Just like the trees dance in the wind, heart rejoices again, and as the sun gives life to the earth, most beloved Master, Buddha, we are.